Well, one day Pope Pius IX was showing some friends through the Vatican, and they asked the Holy Father, "Holy Father, what is the greatest treasure in the Vatican?" And they went to the Pietà, carved by Michelangelo, and they said, "Holy Father, is this the greatest treasure in the Vatican?" And the Pope said, "No." And then they went to the Sistine Chapel, and they looked up at the magnificent ceiling, and they said, "This must be the greatest treasure in the Vatican." And the Pope said, "No." And they said, "Well, then what is it, Holy Father?" And Pope Pius IX pulled out his rosary, and he said, "This is the greatest treasure in the Vatican." So today we'll be talking about the power of the rosary. The same Pope, Pope Pius IX, said, "Give me an army of souls to pray the rosary every day, and the world will be conquered for Christ." The Pope after him was Leo XIII, who's been called the Rosary Pope. He wrote 16 encyclicals on the Holy Rosary. He said that the rosary is the remedy for all the evils of modern society, and it's the root of all of our blessings. He said, among the many ways of praying, there is none more excellent than the rosary. After him was St. Pius X. He said, "Give me 1 million families praying the rosary every day, and the entire world would be saved." The entire world would be saved if 1 million families prayed the daily rosary. The saintly Pope said, "Love the rosary and pray it often." He said, "Of all the prayers, the rosary is the most beautiful and the richest in graces and the prayer most pleasing to Mary." Pope Benedict XV gave, he said, 15 decades of the rosary every day. Pope Pius XI gave the rosary as wedding gifts to any couple that was newly married at the Vatican. Venerable Pius XII also prayed 15 decades of the rosary every day. And the Holy Father said, "There is no surer means of calling down God's blessing on the family than the daily recitation of the rosary." Remember, Father Patrick Peyton said that the family that prays together stays together. All the popes in the last 100 years have talked about the power of the rosary. Blessed John the 23rd said, "The rosary is a school for learning true Christian perfection." He himself prayed 15 decades of the rosary every day, and during his pontificate spoke out 38 times about the importance of the rosary. In the 1960s and 70s, Pope Paul VI said, "Pray the rosary every day for world peace." John Paul I, even though he was only pope for 33 days, also asked the church to pray the rosary for peace. And John Paul II, who of course has been called the Rosary Pope, said that the rosary is my favorite prayer. And whenever he would meet anyone, he would give out a rosary to them. Many bishops told the story when they went out to see the Holy Father during their ad limina visits. They would be describing all the challenges they would have in their diocese and the problem they would have in their dioceses. The Pope would always reach in a drawer and give the bishop a rosary and said, "This will solve all your problems." That is the power of the rosary. And of course today Pope Benedict XVI continues to promote devotion to Our Lady and the Holy Rosary. So from the years 1402 to today, there have been 513 papal pronouncements on the rosary, more than any other devotion or sacramental in the church. And so that is the mind of the Holy Fathers, the popes, on the power of the rosary. But now let's look, why is the rosary so powerful? And that is because it is the prayer of the gospel. And when we meditate upon the rosary, we're meditating upon the gospel, the inspired word of God. We're meditating on the life of Christ through the eyes of Our Lady. Lacordaire called the rosary the abridgment of the gospels. I like to call it our New Testament Cliff Notes. Remember when you were in college? I'm sure none of you ever read the Cliff Notes in place of the book, right? You always read the large book first, and then you read the Cliff Notes just to brush up. Well, the Rosary does not replace the Bible. It does not replace the New Testament. We still read the Bible. We still read the New Testament. But if you want the gist, the most important events, the abridgment of the gospel, you can pray the rosary. You can't always carry your Bible with you, but you can always carry your rosary. This is your pocket Bible. I also call it a pocket catechism, because the rosary teaches the Catholic faith by the prayers, by the mysteries, what we meditate upon. The rosary teaches us the truths of the Catholic faith. Here are three reasons why the rosary is so powerful. The first reason are the prayers that make up the rosary. The Apostles' Creed, this ancient testimony of faith, the deposit of faith that we say in the rosary. The Our Father, which is the perfect prayer taught by Christ himself, which contains everything we need to ask God for, the seven petitions, giving us our daily bread, the graces we need for every day, asking forgiveness for our sins, and asking for protection from evil. So the Our Father is really at the heart of the rosary, and then the Hail Marys. The Hail Mary. That beautiful prayer, the first part of the Hail Mary, comes from the angel Gabriel. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. So when we say the rosary, it's really the prayer of the angels. But then the second part of the Hail Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. That's from Elizabeth, the friend of Our Lady, the cousin of Our Lady. And then the third part, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death, was added by the early church, by the early Christians. So the Hail Mary is so powerful because in every Hail Mary, we're asking Mary to pray for us and to intercede for us at two times, right now and at the hour of our death. And isn't that the times when we most need God's grace and God's help, right? Right now. And at the hour of our death. We want to store for ourselves graces at the hour of our death. And every time we pray the rosary, 50 times we store up a prayer for the hour of our death. The rosary is so powerful because of the prayers, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the glory be in which we worship the Blessed Trinity and give glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then a beautiful prayer Our Lady taught us at Fatima. Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those most in need of thy mercy. See, in that prayer itself, we're reminded of the reality of heaven and the reality of hell. The second way in which the rosary is so powerful is the mysteries. So first you have the prayers, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. Those prayers in and of themselves are so powerful. But then the mysteries of the rosary are beneficial to our spiritual life because we meditate upon sacred scripture, which is the inspired word of God. We're meditating upon the life of Christ, the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the good news. It is Jesus Christ. So the rosary is meditating upon the life of Christ. And as Father Carapi says, the more we meditate upon Jesus, the more we become like Jesus. We begin to interiorize the life of Christ the more we pray the rosary. So what happens is we begin to be transformed more and more into the image and likeness of Christ, which is the purpose of life, as St. Louis de Montfort reminds us, to be molded and formed and fashioned into the image and likeness of Christ. So when we meditate upon these mysteries, we begin to see Jesus as a real person, begin to become more like Christ. We meditate upon his birth in Bethlehem, or his agony in the garden, or his crucifixion, or his resurrection. The more we know scriptures, the more we can know Christ. As St. Jerome says, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. Knowledge of scripture is knowledge of Christ. So by meditating upon the mysteries, we get to know Jesus better. The rosary without meditation is like a body without a soul. We need to meditate upon the sacred mysteries. And as you know, the church recommends that, like, on Monday we say the joyful mysteries, Tuesday the sorrowful, Wednesday the glorious, Thursday the beautiful new luminous mysteries, Friday the sorrowful, Saturday the joyful, and then on Sunday, we, depending on the season, Lent or Christmas season or Advent, we can say the mysteries that are most appropriate for those days. One thing that I've been doing for the last 5 or 10 years, and it's been very helpful to me, is every Lent, I pray for the 40 days of Lent, I pray the sorrowful mysteries every day. And that's been very beneficial for me to keep the passion and death of Christ in the forefront of my mind for the 40 days of Lent. And then what I do for Advent, for the entire weeks of Advent, I say the joyful mysteries every day during Advent. And then at Easter, for the 50 days of the Easter season, I say the glorious mysteries every day for those 50 days of the Easter season. And that's been what I've been doing, and I found it very helpful to keep the spirit of Lent alive, or the spirit of Advent, or the spirit of the Easter season. What other people do also to help them to meditate and keep their mind focused on the mystery is, let's say you're praying the rosary and you say, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." Picture, where is Jesus in that mystery? He might be in Mary's womb at the Annunciation or the Visitation. He might be in the stable in the Nativity. He might be in the temple in the Finding. He might be on the cross in the Crucifixion, or in, let's say, the Garden of the Resurrection in the Easter mysteries. See, when you pray, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus," try to picture where Jesus is in that mystery. And many people have found also, when they pray the rosary on their own, they can even add a word after the name of Jesus, like Jesus in agony, or Jesus risen, or Jesus incarnate, or Jesus in the temple, or Jesus ascended. See, that also can keep your mind focused on that particular mystery. So first is the prayers, second, meditating on the mysteries, and then the third reason why the rosary is so powerful is because of the virtues that we pray for in each of the decades. There's a saying that when you sow a thought, you reap a habit. When you sow a habit, you reap a character. When you sow a character, you reap a destiny. So when we pray the rosary, we're sowing the thought of these good habits and these virtues, which will help us to grow in these virtues and to grow in holiness. And in each of the decades, there are different virtues that we pray for. For example, the Annunciation, we can pray for humility. The Visitation, love of neighbor. The Agony in the Garden, sorrow for sin. Scourging of our Lord at the Pillar, we pray for purity. The Resurrection, faith. The Ascension, hope. Pentecost, love. See, all 20 mysteries have a particular virtue that you can ask for. And again, the more we pray for these virtues of patience or faith or humility, the more these virtues can grow in our life. Remember, these virtues lead to good habits, which lead to character, which ultimately will determine our destiny, whether in heaven or in hell. The rosary really has four aspects as well. It's the prayer of the lips, the prayer of the hand, the prayer of the mind, and the prayer of the heart. First, the rosary is the prayer of the lips. There are vocal prayers, the Our Fathers, the Hail Marys, and the Glory Be. So we use vocal prayer when we say the rosary. But we don't give God lip service. It has to be more than vocal prayer. We have to take it deeper to having it affect our mind and our heart. But yes, there is the vocal aspect of prayer, to be able to recite those Our Fathers and Hail Marys. And by the way, this is not vain repetition that the Bible condemns. This is holy repetition. Yes, the Bible condemns vain repetition, that the Bible praises holy repetition. For example, the publican in the back of the temple kept praying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He kept repeating that prayer, and Jesus praised him and said, "This man was justified." In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed again and again, "Father, take this chalice from me." So Jesus himself uses repetitive prayer. In heaven, the angels are always saying, "Holy, holy, holy." The angels have repetitive prayer. So holy repetition is praised in Scripture. It's vain repetition that is condemned. But the rosary is holy repetition. So it begins by, it's the prayer of the lips. And secondly, the rosary is the prayer of the hand, because we slip the beads through our fingers. We get involved in the rosary by moving the beads through our fingers. I know many outstanding Catholic psychologists and psychiatrists, they give the rosary as a prescription. Pray the rosary, because when the beads slip through your fingers, that reduces stress. Just like knitting or crocheting, using one's hands, by praying the rosary, moving those beads through your hands, it can reduce stress in your life. So it's the prayer of the lips, it's the prayer of the hand. Then it is the prayer of the mind. We have to try to picture the scene. We have to try to picture the crucifixion, or the Last Supper, or the baptism of the Lord, or the Nativity. And really try to picture that scene. For example, the Nativity. Picture the animals in the stable. Try to picture what it will be like to see Our Lady and the child Jesus. Jesus being made in a manger, an animal trough, where the animals would eat out of. Try to picture the rags in which they wrapped him. You know, smell the aroma of a stable. Think of the straw and the hay. So that you have to use your mind, as the great saints tell us. Like Ignatius Loyola says, try to picture that in your mind. But then, the rosary is also the prayer of the heart. We shouldn't just speak it with our lips, or have the beads go through our hands, or try to picture it in our mind. You have to take it into your heart, emotionally. Try to feel those mysteries. And one thing that's been very helpful to me is with the joyful mysteries, ask Our Lady, "Mary, how did it feel to have the angel Gabriel come to you? Mary, how did it feel to lose Jesus for 3 days in Jerusalem?" And just try to picture that, not only in your mind, but in your heart. Try to feel what it would be like to lose Jesus for 3 days. Or, "Mary, what was it like to give birth to Jesus in a stable?" So the joyful mysteries, you ask Mary, "Mary, what was it like? How did it feel?" In the sorrowful mysteries, you ask Jesus that question. "Jesus, what was it like to be scourged at the pillar, to be crowned with thorns, to be mocked and beaten and spit upon? Jesus, what was it like to sweat blood in the garden? What was it like to be crucified? Jesus, how did it feel when you cried out, 'Father, forgive them, they know not what they do'?" And it takes 10 Hail Marys to get into those feelings, right? So that's why we have the opportunity of those 10 Hail Marys. It takes that long to try to get to feel what Mary felt like, or what Jesus felt like in those mysteries. In the luminous mysteries and the glorious mysteries, we ask early Christians, early church, apostles, what was it like to hear the Sermon on the Mount? Or apostles, what was it like to be at the Last Supper, or to see Jesus baptized? Or what was it like to have the Holy Spirit descend upon you at Pentecost? And so early church, early Christians, apostles, what was it like? And it takes 10 Hail Marys to get into that reflection emotionally when you meditate upon the mysteries. What I'd like to do now is just share with you some amazing and some true rosary stories. For the first one, again, just a short summary of this Battle of Lepanto in 1571, when the Turks were coming up from northern Africa, and this naval battle would have determined, would Europe remain Christian or would it fall to the Turks? And Pope St. Pius V asked all of Christendom to pray the Rosary. And on this great feast day of October 7th, even though the Christian forces were outnumbered, through God's help and God's grace, the Christians won a decisive naval battle which kept Europe Christian at that time. And so in honor of that, the Holy Father established the feast day, October 7th, of Our Lady of the Rosary. I'd encourage you to read more about that, this incredible battle in 1571. Then I'd recommend that you read about another battle that took place at the Siege of Vienna in 1683, when John Sobieski and the Polish forces came to the rescue of Vienna when it was being sieged again by the Turks that were trying to overthrow it. And they had 250,000 Turks and against 65,000 Christians. And John Sobieski, he had all his men go to confession, go to Mass and Communion, and they prayed the Rosary on horseback as they came to the defense of the Christian city. And again, a decisive battle, September 11th, 1683. So look that up. And then an amazing event occurred, not many people know about it, in March of 1964, when the atheistic communists were trying to take over Brazil. And the Archbishop of Rio de Janeiro asked everyone to pray the Rosary, and 600,000 people prayed the Rosary. And on April 1st, the atheistic communists fled the country of Brazil. Again, a powerful weapon that we have in the Rosary. And then you can look up the amazing events that occurred in the Philippines during the time when there was this bloodless revolution, thanks be to the Rosary and to our Blessed Mother. If you might remember seeing pictures where they had tanks and guns, and they had millions of people out praying the Rosary, asking Our Lady's intercession. And many of those in the tanks, before they were about to fire onto the crowd that was praying the Rosary, some of them said that they saw the Blessed Mother, and they did not fire upon the crowd. And a priest friend of mine that was at the seminary with me was a young boy that day, and he said he was out there holding the Rosary with these other millions of people praying the Rosary. And again, our Blessed Mother and our Lord Jesus brought about a bloodless revolution. It's amazing how even one rosary can change the world and make it a better place. One of the most amazing stories I've ever heard was this young 19-year-old university student in Paris. This was the year 1840. This young student was having a crisis in his faith. He wasn't sure if he still believed in God and believed in the Catholic Church. One day he was walking down the street and he sort of just stumbled in the back of a Catholic church, not knowing whether all this was real or not. And he saw one man praying the Rosary before the tabernacle. And he recognized the man praying the Rosary. It was his professor, Dr. André Ampère, who would later invent some of the, amplifier or amps from Dr. Ampère. And Dr. Ampère was praying the Rosary so devoutly before the tabernacle that the young man's, all his doubts vanished, and his Catholic faith was reaffirmed. And 2 years later, this young man, who had become a very devout Catholic again after this experience, founded the St. Vincent de Paul Society. His name was Frederick Ozanam. That young 19-year-old student attributes his reaffirming of his faith to one man praying one rosary one day in church. Pope John Paul II beatified Frederick Ozanam a few years ago. And isn't it amazing that that one rosary would lead to the establishment of the St. Vincent de Paul Society 2 years later, which is in almost every country of the world helping the needy and the poor. And that's how one rosary can change the world and make it a better place. And what's also interesting to see is that out of the St. Vincent de Paul Society came the Legion of Mary in 1921. Frank Duff was a member of the Legion of Mary, and he started the Legion in 1921. And today, there's 3 million active members and well over 10 million auxiliary members. Isn't that amazing to think that one rosary helped make the entire world a better place? My own mom and dad met in the Legion of Mary. In the 1950s, they got married on our Blessed Mother's birthday back in 1958, and I joined the Legion when I was 10 years of age. In fact, the priest who tried to get my dad in the Legion, he tried for 2 years to get my dad to join the Legion. He was also my dad's spiritual director and confessor. And apparently one day when my dad was, after going to confession, the priest told him, "Bill, for your penance, join the Legion of Mary." So, well, most likely it was just a recommendation, but he's been in now for well over 50 years. So imagine that one rosary made the world a better place. The rosary is also a means of bringing souls who are far away from God back to God. One of the most incredible stories has to do with Bartolo Longo, who in 1841 was a student at the University of Naples, and he got involved in the occult, in Satanism, and he became a priest in the Church of Satan. But he always had a friend. His friend's name was Vincent, and his friend prayed the rosary for him every day. And through lots of prayers and sacrifices, Bartolo had a conversion, and he came out of Satanism, and he came back to the practice of his Catholic faith. But he still was despairing. He still wondered if he could ever be saved, because he had, you know, sort of sold his soul to the devil. He didn't know if he could ever be saved. And one day when he was in despair, Our Lady appeared to him and said, "Yes, if you promote the Holy Rosary and devotion to the Rosary, you will be saved." And so then he began work on building the national shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary. And if you go to Pompeii, Italy today, you'll see the national shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary. Bartolo died in, I believe, 1926. He was beatified in 1980. Here is a former Satanist who, through the power of the Rosary, is now beatified on his way to canonization. And that's encouraging, because maybe some of your own children or grandchildren have drifted away from the faith, perhaps. Your job is to pray the Rosary for them every day. And trust them to our Blessed Mother's loving care and protection. So pray for your children, your grandchildren, anybody that you know that has left the faith, and cast the net of the rosary over them. See, this is the net by which we catch not fish, but souls. This is our net. It's Mary's mantle that we bring souls to the Lord. And as you know, there's a saying, a deck in a day keeps the devil away. So make sure you pray your rosary every day. Now, St. Dominic, through the preaching of the rosary, helped to convert 100,000 Albigensians through the preaching of the Holy Rosary. St. Francis de Sales helped to convert 72,000 Calvinists back to the Catholic Church by the preaching of the rosary. He said his two greatest weapons were his rosary and his pen. His pen because he was an author, and his rosary because of the prayers. And he said, next to the Mass, there is no prayer as powerful as the rosary when you meditate upon the mysteries. St. Clement Hofbauer, he said that he could convert the most obstinate sinner just by praying one devout rosary for them. Padre Pio called the rosary his mighty weapon. And as you know, Padre Pio said not 15 decades every day, he said 15 rosaries every day. He always had the rosary in his hand, just like Mother Teresa. And there's an amazing story, a true story, that a close priest friend of Padre Pio asked him one day how many rosaries he had said. And he said, "Did you say, you know, 25 rosaries? And Padre Pio said, "No, I said more than that." He said, "Well, did you say 50 rosaries? He says, "No, more than that, 100 rosaries. And Padre Pio said, "No, I said more than that." It turned out that day he had prayed 160 rosaries in that one day. And you might ask, is that humanly possible? Well, probably not, but he could bilocate, so you could probably have two rosaries going at the same time. So only he was able to do that. The great Bishop Sheen, my mom actually was the secretary for Bishop Sheen for 2 years back in the 1940s when he was teaching philosophy at Catholic U. Bishop Sheen said, if you teach a non-Catholic to pray the rosary, they will either, if they're faithful in praying the rosary, they will become Catholic, or they will stop praying the rosary. So one of two things will happen. They'll either stop praying the rosary, or it will lead them into the faith. Because Our Lady always wants to lead us to Christ, especially to the Holy Eucharist. And one of the most encouraging things I heard was from Father Gobi, a priest very close to our Blessed Mother. He told us once at a conference, he said that he believes personally that if one member of the family prays the rosary every day for the salvation of all the members of that family, then our Lord and our Blessed Mother would eventually save all the members of that family. Even if one is faithful in praying that rosary every day, that the whole family will one day get to heaven. And that's a very encouraging thought. The rosary can also help the souls in purgatory. When we pray for the souls in purgatory, St. John de Matthias prayed the rosary during his entire life every day for the release of souls from purgatory. And on his deathbed, God revealed to him that during his life, he had helped to bring 1,300,000 souls into heaven. Isn't that an amazing thought? During his life, by praying the rosary every day for the souls in purgatory, 1,300,000 souls were purified in purgatory and entered heaven through the prayer of the rosary. Pope Pius XII, in his encyclical, likened the rosary to David's sling against Goliath. And this is our sling against the Goliaths of modern society, against the evils of modern society. If you read Scripture carefully, it says, David went to the stream and he picked up 5 smooth stones. And it's appropriate that, you know, the rosary, we normally pray the 5 decades, these 5 smooth stones, the 5 decades of the rosary. And this is our weapon, as humble as it may seem, as simple as it may seem, it can defeat the Goliath of modern society. Terrorism, abortion, contraception, all the evils of modern society. My own grandmother, she was a very devout Catholic, even though she only had a 6th grade education. She had gone deaf and blind, but she still prayed about 10 rosaries every day. I'm sure it's probably the only reason why I'm a priest today, is the prayers of my grandmother and praying the Holy Rosary. Queen Blanche prayed the rosary every day for her son, that her son would become a saint. And he did. He became King Saint Louis the Ninth. And Queen Blanche prayed the rosary every day for her son. So think about the power of the Holy Rosary. And Our Lady said to Fatima, say the rosary every day for peace in the world. So we should pray for peace in the world, peace in our families, and peace within our own hearts. And the Blessed Mother didn't say, pray the rosary, you know, Monday, Wednesdays, or Fridays, or once a week, or once a month. She said, pray the rosary every day. And Louis Kazmierzak, who went around for years with the Pilgrim Virgin statue of Our Lady of Fatima, had one of the most incredible stories of how much one rosary meant to our Blessed Mother. And he said that when he was in the Air Force in Illinois working with the Red Cross, he was up for 38 straight hours answering the telephone. And he had promised the Blessed Mother he would say the rosary every day. Well, he had just gotten off his shift after being up for 38 straight hours. He went back to his bunk in the military and he knelt down to say his night prayers and he started falling asleep. And they realized he had not said his rosary that day. And he says, oh, certainly Blessed Mother will understand if I don't pray the rosary today. And he said, right before he was about to fall off to sleep, he said, Blessed Mother, If one rosary means so much to you, give me a sign. Now, the way he described it is that the rosary was on his bunk on a bar, and it was placed like this. It was looped through on the bar above his bed. So he was lying on his bed about to fall into a deep sleep, and he heard this noise. The rosary unraveled from the bar and fell on his bed. And he says he woke up and he said the most devout rosary he ever prayed his whole life. He said that's how much one rosary meant to our Blessed Mother. And well, my favorite rosary story, and I'll end with this, is on a train going from Dijon to Paris in 1891, there was a young university student on the train sitting opposite an elderly gentleman. And the old gentleman was praying the rosary. And the young college kid said, why don't you throw that rosary out the window? Don't you know that science has disproved, you know, the Catholic faith and those silly superstitions like the rosary? And the old man just smiled and continued saying the rosary. And eventually the young man said, well, you know, if you give me your business card, I'll be happy to send you some science books so you could become enlightened as well and get rid of your foolish superstition. So the old man reached into his pocket and gave his business card to the young man. And the young man had the shock of his life. The old man, his business card read, Dr. Louis Pasteur, Scientific Research, University of Paris. I have a feeling that the young man never sent any of those science books to Dr. Pasteur. As you know, Dr. Pasteur invented that purifying process for milk. So I tell the kids in my parish, go into your kitchen, open the refrigerator, get out the milk, and look for the word pasteurized on the bottle and enjoy a glass of Catholic milk. And by the way, you know, one interesting thought too we never think about, that Our Lady wants us to pray the rosary every day, and she tells us by her actions as well as by her words. And when she appeared at Lourdes in 1858, you know what? The rosary was over her elbow in 1858. When she appeared to the children at Fatima in 1917, it was in her hand. She said, pray the rosary every day. When she appeared to the children in Borang, Belgium in 1932, it was in her fingertips. Okay? So notice that as the times get more desperate, as we get more and more towards the end times, of course, which we're always heading in that direction, we notice Our Lady by her words, 1858 at the elbow, 1917 in her hand, 1933 her fingertips. So she tells us by her actions as well that we need to pray the rosary every single day. And there was one little, I saw a neat t-shirt at a Catholic bookstore. On the front of the t-shirt it said, call your mother. And on the back of the t-shirt it said, pray the rosary, your Blessed Mother hasn't heard from you in decades. Thank you, God bless. Thank you.